Let's look to the Lord. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for these young people, Lord. We appreciate them so very much. They're such an inspiration to us. We think of them often, and they're young people's leaders, how they need strength and wisdom. We pray that you'd help us with our few words here, that you'd bless it and use it, Lord. We'll surely thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Thankful to be here. You're blessed. You've all been raised this way, and I think that's what the devil uses a lot of times. Because, you know, a lot of you, if we're going to be honest, really haven't had a choice whether you can come to church or not. You've been made. Nobody's taught them. And all they watch is pop culture. Sorry, those individuals are not examples, young people. They're not examples. And you're very blessed to have the young people's leaders that you do. Because, you know, there's a lot of people out here who can talk a good game. They can really talk. But, you know, you have two leaders that have put forth a wonderful example for you. And, you know, only time can gain that. You think about their lives, you've had to earn it. They have children. He has to work. He's out here just like everybody else. And you're blessed tonight. You're truly blessed. You have Brother Chris, Sister Vicky over there as well. Wonderful examples. Right. Amen. Yeah, like I said, there's a lot of people can talk. Amen. A lot of people can talk, but can they back it up through their living? And we want to talk tonight about false doctrine. And we're surrounded by it on every side. And to be honest, when you're in the flesh, when you get in this conversation, you just want to be right. Right?
Sure.
Let's be honest.
Absolutely.
I want to tell you how it is, because this is the way it is, because I know the truth, and this is the way it is, and you're going to like it. But you know what? We're not supposed to answer men that way, or women. Meekness and fear is how we're supposed to respond, humbly. We don't use the sword of truth as a weapon to hurt people. Because I'm going to tell you what, honestly, we can hurt people whether they're going to show it or not. When we tell somebody to go to hell, we used to have a street preacher down there. I remember when I was a little guy down in Charlotte, they were having a huge controversy. You'd go out there and just scream at people, they're going to hell. You know what, that's foolishness, but no doubt he injured a lot of people.
Right.
Because deep down, a lot of people know that they're not right. But you don't want somebody to come out there and just yell at you. You want to explain. And you know, false doctrine, it's a rough thing to deal with, because you have to remember these individuals have been raised in church and been taught just like you've been taught. You hold on to what you know, so what do you think they're going to do?
Right.
They're not just going to give it up.
Right.
They're just not going to say, wow, you've convinced me with a couple sentences. I'm going to your church now. It's not going to work that way. It takes daily living. And you know what? People are offering everything to pick up disciples. Every side, people are offering anything just to start a little church.
Right.
I listen to people in false religion, and it blows my mind. I can't keep up with what they do, how they start plants, and I don't understand it. Who cares? You know what? But when God's in something, he'll build it.
Right.
False prophets, they have no regard for the Word of God. And as I was thinking, you know, the Word of God is trademarked. You ever see that? Trademarked, patent, protected. The Word of God is protected. But false prophets could care less. They're going to use it for whatever means. Some of them, I do believe, think they're doing the will of God. But there are two congregations. You have the saints and the sinners. It's that easy. Now, we go under Church of God. But anybody who's living a sin-free life and is trying, they're in with us. I believe that. But you have a doctrine where you say, you know what, we just can't help ourselves. Friend, that's not God's work right there. That's not God's work. And the majority of it is that way, because it's the easy way. Because if you tell people you can't sin, they're worried about the seats. They're worried about empty seats. He's worried about his paycheck.
Sure.
There's good money in false religion, you know that? A lot of people, they like to make a career out of it. I dated a girl a long time ago. Her dad was an assistant pastor, whatever that is. And I couldn't believe the amount of money he made. I think he made $40,000 or $45,000, and that's probably been, I don't know, 15 years ago, as an assistant pastor, which is probably worth $55,000, $60,000 now, the way the government likes to print money. But you know what? There's good money in it, and that's what draws people into it.
Sure.
You want to go out here and work yourself to death? You just want to hang out in church? And you know, as we were at that funeral, I was nosing around in there, all their little doctrines and their little pamphlets. And the one thing I couldn't believe in the bathroom is all the activities. There's nothing wrong with activities. But there was a whole wall of activities. I was trying to figure out, is this church or is this a club? Because you know what? That's basically what it is now. And I was talking to an individual. He did a wedding. And he said, that's why I got out of that. He said, because I felt like an activity planner. So he went to the hospitals where he just works. And he works with souls there, and he loves that. And I don't blame him for it. And you know, a lot of restaurants, we like pictures because that's how we learn. You know, KFC supposedly has the secret recipe, right? And you know what? There's a lot of restaurants that are trying to do the same thing. Their chicken, it's fried, might even look the same. But you know what? It doesn't taste the same. And it's the same thing with the Word of God. There are a lot of people that have the building. They have the book. They have the pastor. They have the youth leaders. They have everything lined up. But they don't have the Spirit of God. And you know what? Living before them is the only way you're going to make a connection. You know what? A salesman isn't just about talking. People think that. That's not it. You know what you want to do is you want to make a connection with that person as fast as you can. If he's wearing a team, I'm going to jump right in there and talk about him. Because people like to talk about their team. You want to make a connection. That's just what people want. And it's the same thing with you out. You must make a connection. You just can't stand afar off, point your finger, and say you're wrong. You have to be a friend to them.
True.
You have to prove yourself to people. And that takes time and it takes work. How many of you want to get up? Maybe you're having plans on a Friday night. And your friend calls you and says, I really need help. How many of you want to drop your plans to go run off to help somebody? But that's what it takes. And people realize.
Church over there. How many are you just going to pick up and leave? You're not going to do that. God's patient, and every one of us are going to be patient. And just because someone believes a certain way, you got to remember we have to give them time. We have to give them time. I believe that. God's fair. God is fair. And always, you know, amazed at how people, when they start talking about sin, they start trying to incorporate our thoughts, sin. They try to throw up smoke screens on all sides. But you know what? God is fair. He's going to have a bar so high that we can't hit it. He's never going to do that. He's going to be fair with every one of us. We all have areas we need to move up in. Every one of us. Every one of us. You're going to fight spirits. And you know what? Sometimes moms and dads really influence their children. You all know that. Think about how your moms and dads have influenced you. Now, if mom and dad have been running down the church of God their entire life, what kind of attitude do you think they're going to have? And you know what? When you can't make a connection to somebody, all you can really do is pray. It's all you can do. There's people that come in with the attitude you're just a salesman, and they just put up a wall. And you can try, and you can try, and they'll throw up something. I've been in sales. I know what you're doing. And that's difficult. Because in the end, you want to small talk anyway. If I'm going to stand there and talk to you, why not converse about something? And these individuals, you got to remember, sometimes they put up a wall, and you're not going to get through it. And it's only going to be through the avenue of prayer that you're going to be able to touch them. But God can change your hearts. There's no other way. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. When you approach someone, or someone approaches you, you have to realize you are approaching Jericho. You have a big task ahead of you. There have been walls, and you yourself are not going to conquer. Might as well get that out of your head. It's a nice feeling. It'd be nice to think that I could just walk around and just convince the multitudes. It's not going to work that way. God gave explicit instructions how to take Jericho, and he's going to give every one of you explicit instructions how to win. Everybody's different. Everybody, no matter how hard they are, they also have a soft point. There's something that gets to people, and only God knows what that is. Like I said, it might be sacrifice. Could be just out playing sports and then watching your conduct. You just don't know. But God does. And he will give you that direction. You must be a good listener. One of the best things that you could ever be is a good listener. It is a lost art. It just is. People like to talk about themselves. But you know what? Just listen every once in a while. Sit down and just shut yourself off and just listen to somebody. You know what, that makes a big impression. I can't think of the author right now, but he basically talks about making friends. That's the biggest thing. He said, there's so many subjects I didn't know anything about. I would be out with people, and I would just listen to them. And at the end of the night, they just loved my company. But he really said, I didn't know anything about anything they were talking about. All I did was listen. I said, wow, that's neat. Because there are so many people out here with stories, careers. I met an individual who worked for Accenture, which is a division of Microsoft. He was an interesting guy. We just hit it off. There are people out here who are very interesting, with interesting lives. And you know what? Let's listen to them. Let's listen to what they have to say. You must pray. Carry a burden. We all know these things. Know what they believe in. And you know what? Once you know what they believe in and you carry a burden for them, you need to study the Scriptures. You need to know a base. You don't have to memorize it. Don't let you yourself get ahead and say, you know, I've got to know all this Bible to convince them that you don't. God will bring to your mind what you need to say, how you need to say it, and when. Timing is everything. I believe that. Timing is everything. There are certain places in my life, if God would have brought something along, it would just went one ear and out the other. It wouldn't have made an impact on me. But there are certain times that it did make an impact, and God knows that. Don't try to be a hero. Everybody wants to be the hero, right? Don't try to be the hero. Just be their friend. If you were to approach a lion court, strong that they offend people. That's no way to win folks. When I go home, there's a different standard in my home. But when I go to my mother's, I'm not going to sit there and nitpick her house apart and how she lives. Because if I do that, I'm going to push her away. I have a heart. I know I've made an inroad in her life. I can feel it. Every time I go down there, I get a little deeper. I don't want to push her away by saying something stupid. Just love them. Just love them. See, sometimes words really get us in trouble. It doesn't take great discernment to figure out how people live and what's important to them. People love to throw certain issues out there in front of people. The holier than thou, it's no attitude to have. Just live. Live what you believe. Because a lot of times people try to live what other people believe. It doesn't work. Because you must know these things for yourself. And that's where it's at for every one of you. You're all growing up here. You all have lives before you. You must know this for yourself. You must really believe that you're in the right way. Because if you're doubting, people sense that. People sense that. Because when people ask me about a product and I'm not real sure about it or I think it's junk, when they ask me, I know they can feel it. What do you think about it? Well, I don't know. It's pretty good. If you're out to buy something, somebody says it's pretty good, does that really convince you? Do you really want to get it? Or does that create questions? You want somebody to say it's really good. That product is amazing. It'll change your life. And you have to have that belief in you. You must. You must have that belief. Sinners are waxing worse and worse, and there is a tremendous pull down. And I thank you, all of you, often. And I pray for you, and I know there's many in this congregation that pray for you. Because there is a tremendous vacuum down out there. And the world wants you. The world has plenty of products to throw your way. But just remember, what will you do in the end? And many times, it's so easy for me to tell you to wait. And many times that feels so lame to tell somebody that, just to be honest with you. Just wait. But you know there's a chasm from those words till the actual point of waiting. Do you know how long that might be? Just wait for the right one, young people. That's so easy for me to say. But it's not easy for you to perform. And the only way that that can be filled is with God. It's the only way. It's the only way. I can pray for you, and I have great confidence in prayer. Because sometimes I know the young people's leaders, they feel the same way. It's easy to dish out advice, but to perform it is very, very difficult. Because when you get restless, it's just like wanting to buy something. I'm the same way. When I set my mind, I want to buy something. I have a hard time turning that off. There's a new phone out there, and I really want it. I put my mind to it. And you know what? The finances are just not there. It's really hard for me to turn that off. But we must have the discipline to do that. Because you don't want to botch decisions in life. And you have to remember there's so many young people out here that are tied up in false religion. And unfortunately, the people that they're surrounded by are giving them bad advice. All the time. How can carnal people give spiritual advice? It can't happen. But that's something that you have here and you need to build off of it. And you need to be thankful for it. And you need to pray for it. And I know many of you do. It takes work. That last psalm, I heard all about work in there. And the spirit of holiness is work. If you think Jesus was a bum, you know better than that. I know better than that. If you think Paul was a bum, you know better and I know better. You know, Peter wasn't a bum. We can't be bums. No matter what's going on around us, we're going to have to work. Every one of us. You need to represent yourself in school. Does that mean you love it? I personally didn't like school. But you know what? I applied myself pretty well. But you know what? You need to apply yourself the best you can. And if all of you get ahead of yourself. Don't get ahead of yourself. The Bible speaks of false witness. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world." And you know, when Brother Steve asked me, it wasn't just a couple days later, I got into this huge conversation with this individual about predestination. I said, "Wow, I have a lot of topics to talk about. I'm not really going to get into it." But you know, there are certain times when you can put all the doctrine in the world on somebody and they'll just weasel out of it, and he did. That's not what the Greek says. I heard that word so many times. I want to take a Greek Bible and just punt it. Because he just kept saying, "That's not what the Greek says." You know what? If somebody's going to have that attitude, you're not going to win them with doctrine. So he has a real, we'd call it hate, but he don't like Pentecostals. And so there's a real good Pentecostal friend we both know and have in common. I just put it right on him. I said, "Well, brother," I said, "I watch you. I watch him." And I said, "I can't see the difference. As much as you don't like him," I said, "I don't see a difference in your living." And I left it at that. Now, you have to be careful when God gives you liberty. And I had the liberty to say that. I felt it. But you can't say something that's going to hurt somebody. But if they're going to take it down to where the Greek, all right, well, let's get down to where you're living. And sometimes you're going to have to do that, and you're going to have to be bold. Now, I'm not saying hurt or injure. Speak in the wrong spirit. We got to be careful not being in the wrong spirit. But people need to know every once in a while. This is truly about living. See, for him, it's just about getting up and expounding some scriptures. He believes in predestination. So I guess some of you in here are destined to go to heaven. And some of you are just damned to go to hell. That's what that doctrine teaches. That's foolishness. There's not many people believe that. There's a reason why, because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make good sense. But if you let him talk to you a little bit, he can make it pretty convincing. He'll take you to Romans and read the same scriptures over and over and over again, and he'll make it pretty convincing for you. So you need to know where you stand, because somebody might pull you in and get you to doubt. There's nothing wrong with finding something out for yourself, but don't get too carried away, because somebody might win. Might have to move to the right side. Don't worry about doctrines as much. Worry about how you're living. That says everything. See, all these false preachers, they get up, they go to it, and nobody knows how they're living. Most of them live on compounds. They fly away, live in other areas. Nobody knows how they live. But you know what? Brother Decker lives in our town. If he was out doing something, you're going to get caught, especially in this town. I was out back at Verizon. I was on my break, just tiddling around in my truck. Brother Gary Wilson just walked up on me out of nowhere. Scared me, startled me. If you're in this town and you're doing something wrong, you will get caught. That's just all there is to it. But our minister lives here. And we know how he lives and what he stands for. And every one of you go to school. Know your lives, and they know other people that go to the Church of God. It's not some little corner church that hardly anybody knows anything about. We are the Church of God, and people know what we stand for. And we want to be confident in what we stand for. We want to finish up on the two camps, because there's two camps, saints and sinners. Now, if you were to go to a football game and there are four teams playing on the field, you know how much confusion that would be? Imagine trying to watch four teams on a football field. That's exactly what religion is, false religion. We have all these teams out here, so to speak, and they're all doing their same thing on the supposed same field, but it's a mess. It's a mess. God has rules of worship. Rules of worship. And false doctrine, you have to remember, you're the only ones that's going to show them something different. Might be the only chance they have in life to see something different. You have to remember, we only get a couple chances in life. We want to make a strong impression on their lives. Let them know that you care. Invite them out to revival, because remember, one day we are going to stand before God. When that individual's church. Because you know what? Hey, we have such and such activity going on tonight. Come on out. See for yourself. That's what you must encourage someone in false religion. Is come see for yourself. Come see how we proclaim the gospel. Study it out. See, that's what I love in the church of God. Nobody hides from doctrine. Because we know what we stand for. And I think if so many times you get in conversations with people on false religion, they quickly fall on what they believe in. I wouldn't want to be in that position. I don't know about you. How unsettling would it be for somebody just to within 30 seconds whip you on how you believe? And all you can do is back up and say, well, I don't have the same light as you do. That's a cop-out. That's a cop-out. The Jesus-only doctrine? He got saved in the Church of God. Now he's over at the Christian Life Center. He believes in Jesus only. So I said, when Jesus was baptized, what was going on there? Just a simple question. Yeah, that's what it says. Yeah, that's what it says. That's what it says. You can't spin that, and I'm not spinning it. That's what it says. And he said, you know what? We're at different points. You know, I just haven't received that light yet. And you know what? You just have to leave it. And I've ran into him once or twice. We just kind of look at each other. I don't know what he's thinking. But I think they're that Church of God, right? I think there's that Pentecostal. That's what I think. But you know what? We made that connection. You make a connection and make a point in the right spirit. That's what makes an impression right there. You have a great opportunity because there are not many young people that's living for God in this day and age. And when you go out to the rest homes and they see young people taking their time out, it makes a real impression. And you got to remember, a lot of those people, when you go to the rest home, they're wrapped up in false religion. And they think that serving God is just roses. Live any old way, and Jesus and the blood just covers it all. And we know better than that. And we want to do our part. So my admonition is, find it for yourself tonight. Find it for yourself. Because big decisions are coming for you. Huge decisions. And you don't want to mess it up. And like I said, it's so easy for me to say that. Performing. That's why we pray for you. You have a long road ahead of you. But you know what? God will give you the right companion. He'll give you the right job. Now, am I going to promise you'll be rich? I can't promise you that. Because most of the times, this life requires you to sacrifice. It requires all of us to sacrifice. Because we need to be in church 3 times a week if we can. And sometimes, you know what? There's a certain things, certain professions that we can't do. I'm not taking a job where I'm going to travel all over the United States and be out of church. I'm just not going to do it. I don't care how much money you offer me. This is too important for me. Because one day, just like all of you, you're going to be old men and women, if the Lord tarries. And when that time comes to pass over to the other side, you're going to be so glad that you served God. Do you really want to approach death not knowing? Well, I hope I make it into heaven. None of you want to approach that. How many of you have hoped? You run out of gas, you're not going to hope that tank full. I don't care how hard you hope on the side of the road. I'm out of gas, but I hope I got just a little bit in there. I hope. You stand there and hope yourself to death, but there's no gas in that tank. You want to be ready. You have a great support system here for you. Remember, it's in the life. And remember, there are people that are searching and hungry. They might come to you secretly. That's your chance. You want to make sure that you have an answer for them. Some people are like Nicodemus. They're going to come to you at night. They're going to come to you in some secret place. They don't want their friends to know, their big bad friends, to know that they're talking to a Christian about living. But you know what? No matter how bad people are, you see all these supposed tough athletes, you know what? You can't get them in the church. Because God is so much tougher. Because when you come into His service, He's going to show you who you are. People don't like that. Be proud of what you possess. Be proud of what you possess. You have light and understanding that people have no idea about. Remember how important this is. We're just not dealing with a club here. We're dealing with life or death. You all have friends here. I believe we all want to make it to heaven. to run as smooth as possible. And you have a great foundation here with your young people. May the Lord bless you. You know, I appreciate what Brother Mike said tonight. And you know, no matter what you come up against, what form of false doctrine that you might come up against, whether it might be tongues, whether it might be, you know, once saved, always saved, those sorts of doctrines, again, they're devilish doctrines. But I think the principles that he laid forth tonight will work in all those situations, will work in every situation. And to kind of sum that up is, first of all, you've got to be a friend to him. You've got to establish a relationship with them in order for you to be able to talk to them about, you know, about the right way. What is the right way? You got to have those doors to open. And in order to do that, you got to be a good listener. You got to be a friend. You got to establish a relationship with them. And, you know, it kind of clicked in my mind, you know, going, when he said something about going into the nursing home. You know, there are some people, you step into the room or you see them maybe sitting at the doorway and you go, you know, how are you today? Oh, well, you know, I'm a Catholic. You don't that try to convert me. I'm a Catholic. I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Catholic. Well, we just come by to say hello. Just come to sing for you. Not trying to convert you. We're just here to sing and say hello. Just let you know that we're concerned about you. So again, you have to kind of establish a relationship with them before maybe there is a door that's open where you can talk to them. But I guess one of the questions I have as we wrap up our service tonight is, do those people out in the world and in false religion see a difference in you? Do they see a difference in you where they might want to ask you a question, where they might want to, you know, approach you and say, you know, there's something different about you. Is there that much of a difference?